Chapter 8. Sheriff Ball sat in the front seat of his Ford. He started the engine and turned on the air conditioner. It was hot, real hot for mid-May. He watched the sunset and wished Ruby could be here to see this spectacular scene. The Arkansas River sparkled in the sunlight as it ribboned its way between Van Buren and Fort Smith. The three bridges, one for trains to use, the others for cars, spanned the river majestically from this viewpoint. He'd once met the man, a Mr. Barber, who had designed and built the middle bridge, the ones the locals used most. At Christmas time, in the sand along the riverbank, Arcola Sand and Gravel Company put up the three wise men, in blue lights. It was impressive, everyone said so. He and Ruby always took the girls to see the sight. He was nervous about interrogating two lawyers, but he looked forward to it anyway. He'd taken classes given by the state police and gone to a convention or two in Dallas. Still, he needed time to think and formulate his questions. Sam Hugh had started off his legal career with a bang. Senator William Fulbright, everyone said he owed a favor to his father, Hugh Park, had gotten him a job as an assistant United States prosecuting attorney, with offices in the federal courthouse in Fort Smith. He hadn't stayed there long, maybe a year or so, and then he'd opened up an office in his home. Everyone knew he was smart, some said brilliant, the smartest man in Crawford County. He'd heard that Sam Hugh Park had invested in real estate around the county, and his law practice wasn't that busy. Maybe he needed money. Maybe he should wait till tomorrow to question him when he was hungover. Yes, he decided, he'd tell Sam Hugh to be at his office at 8 on Monday morning. But then, thinking how early 8 would come, he changed it to 9 o'clock. He took out the notebook he always carried in his shirt pocket and began to write. He wrote Sam Hugh Park on the top of one page and numbered down 1 through 10. Then he turned the page and did the same for Linda and Howard. They were husband and wife, but he had a hunch they weren't happily married. Linda seemed to rely on Sam Hugh for support instead of her husband. The sheriff felt sorry for her. She was such a cute little thing. When you looked at her face, all you saw were those big brown eyes, frightened eyes, that seemed to be on the lookout for something about to happen. She was like the kittens that lived in his tool shed. They accepted his food but were cautious of any petting or touching. The car radio sputtered, and a familiar voice called his name. He listened to his dispatcher and then answered, "Tell Ruby I don't know when I'll get home for supper." He hated to miss a meal with his family. Leftover roast beef sandwiches would soon be on the table, but he couldn't make it, not with the most important investigation of his career waiting for him. He rolled down the window, switched off the ignition, and got out of the car. He hitched up his pants and walked toward the house occupied by the dead woman's son. "Most logical suspect I can see," he said out loud as he stepped over a large pecan branch that lay on the side of the road. Sam Hugh answered the knock and invited the sheriff inside. He didn't ask the tall man to sit down. This wasn't a friendly chat, but an investigation, and he would treat it as such. "Now then, if you folks will bear with me, I'll get this out of the way and let you get on to taking care of things. First of all, let me say that your mother's body has been taken to Little Rock for an autopsy. Now, since it's Sunday, they won't do it till tomorrow. I don't know how many they'll have to do since it's a weekend and all. Little Rock does all the autopsies for the state, and if there was a lot of wrecks and drownings, then things could get piled up. We'll just have to hope for the best."
"Will you notify us as soon as you hear something?"
Linda asked. "Of course. Will y'all stay here with your brother?" Linda looked at Howard and waited for him to speak.
"We'd better stay at a motel," she finally said. "I'll go call. What's the name of that one on the highway?"
"Just let me know one way or the other," said the sheriff. "Now tell me before I leave where each of you were last night from dark until morning. Sam Hugh, I'll start with you."
I was here all night. I had some friends over, but I didn't hear any screams or loud noises from my mother's house. I have no idea who might have wanted her dead. I don't know if she had any enemies. And that, Sheriff Ball, is all I intend to say on the subject." Sam Hugh then turned his back to the sheriff, winked at the astonished Howard, and went into the kitchen. Howard cleared his throat. Sheriff, I must apologize for my brother-in-law. I assure you that my wife and I will be more cooperative." "That's all right, Mr. Martin. If Mr. Park doesn't want to be helpful, that's his business." "You don't think Sam Hugh killed our mother?" Linda asked. "He wouldn't do that. He was her own flesh and blood. They had a very special relationship, one that went way beyond the normal mother-son."
"What do you mean by that exactly?"
Linda pursed her lips, pausing to look for the correct words to explain their relationship. "Well, he was very, very special in her eyes. She thought he was perfect in every way. She never stayed mad at him more than an hour, no matter what he had done or said."
"Where were you last night?" asked the sheriff.
"Why, I was home, of course. My husband and our oldest went camping."
"Where did you go camping, Mr. Martin?"
"We went to a Boy Scout camping trip to a nearby lake."
"Linda, do you have any witnesses to verify your alibi?"
Linda looked at Howard and began to cry once more.
"Sheriff, my wife is understandably upset. Our neighbors can tell you Linda was home last night. I'm sure there were lights on all over the house. She gets a little spooked when I'm gone and turns on all the lights."
"And how do you know that for sure?"
"Sheriff, that's exactly what I did," Linda said. "The baby and I sat outside before it got dark, took our baths, and went to bed."
"When did you last see your mother, Linda?"
the sheriff asked in a gentle tone of voice. He sensed that Linda was what his wife would call a basket case.
"We were here on Thanksgiving."
"I'm trying to get things straight in my mind, Linda. Can you help me out if you will? Your mother and father were divorced, and before that they owned the Press Argus?"
"Yes, sir. My father died in 1974, but he'd remarried. His wife still lives here, I believe."
Linda looked through the kitchen doorway at Sam Hugh and then back again at the sheriff.
"We're not close, and I've never known much about her."
"And you were adopted?"
"Yes, but not until I was 20.
"Sheriff," interrupted Howard, "my wife was probably closer to her father. The divorce was very traumatic for everyone, but especially for Linda, because she was devoted to her father. Her mother insisted on Linda's loyalty. Sam Hughes, too, of course. She drew a line in the sand and forbade her children to step over it."
"Forbade? Forbade?" Was Howard trying to impress him with fancy words?
"I see. Divorce is always bad, but sometimes it's the only solution. What else do you need to know, Sheriff?"
Howard asked as he protectively placed his arm around his wife.
"Did your mother have any men friends?"
"No, never. At least none that I ever knew about. I really believe she liked living alone and having things her own way. She would have liked for Sam Hugh to live with her, but he wanted to have his own place," she said.
"I need a list of your mother's friends. Sometimes friends know more about a person than their family does."
"Sam Hugh would know better than me," Linda said.
Turning toward the kitchen and catching Sam Hugh's eye, she said,
"Come in here, please. The sheriff needs to know the names of mother's friends."
Sheriff Ball jotted down the things Linda had told him. Sam Hugh stood nervously, leaning to one side and then to the other, waiting. The sheriff turned back several pages and read what he'd written. His lips moved as he read, an action both Linda and Sam Hugh noticed. He looked at Sam Hugh, then his sister, and back to Sam Hugh.
"If you're ready to be helpful, I would like to know the names of your mother's friends."
"My mother was active in the local historical society. Those ladies would be considered acquaintances, but not good friends," Sam Hugh said with a loud sigh.
Linda chewed on a fingernail.
"I don't think Mother had any good friends. Oh, yes, there was a book club, too." Was your mother the kind of lady who was careful about locking the doors at night? Would she have opened the door to a stranger?
Mother was extremely careful, Linda replied after glancing at her brother.
The sheriff scratched his head, another nervous habit he'd picked up in his youth, and took out his pen and began to write.
Now, Linda, I want you and your brother to walk down with me to your mom's house. I want y'all to look around and see if you can tell if anything's missing.
Do I have to go?
Well, if you want us to find out who killed your mother, we don't know if it was a robbery or what.
Linda sighed and reached for her brother's hand.
Okay, I'll go.
The sheriff walked ahead and gave instructions to his deputy. The smell of exhaust fumes from idling motors hung heavily in the air. Cars were everywhere, full of curiosity seekers wanting to see where a real murder was committed. A white wrought iron bench sat between two empty flower pots.
Why do you suppose Mother bought this bench? Sam Hugh asked. Have you ever seen anyone sit on it?
Oh, she thought it was Old South. She bought it after her first trip to Natchez and Vicksburg.
Sam Hugh nodded. He well remembered all the trips they'd taken. One in particular was most unpleasant. The family had traveled in a truck. Roughing it, his mother had called it. He and Linda wore identical shirts made out of puffy nylon that could be easily washed. They rode in the back of the truck, facing the cars behind them.
Remember the time I wanted to play jacks here? We had a big row over it, Linda said. She said I was too old and I'd scratched the concrete. I remember how good the cool concrete felt on my legs.
I should have helped you out with her, whispered Sam Hugh, shaking his head and looking down at his feet.
She wouldn't let you do anything. I remember how you cried over the ribbons for the Rainbow Girls dance.
I guess that's when I gave up. She said I didn't know how to choose colors. God, all the other girls had strapless formals with tons and tons of net. Miss Stratton made mine, and Mother picked out the pattern.
I hated the piano recitals the most, Sam Hugh said. One boy and a dozen girls.
What happened to us? What happened that we should end up here just the two of us, with Dad and now Mother gone?
Linda raised her head to catch the unexpected cool breeze. She licked her forefinger and held it up.
Feels like rain, she said with a nervous laugh. Remember how Dad used to do that?
Mom ruined him. He couldn't please her. That's why he stayed away all the time. She never gave him a moment's peace. A real ball buster.
I can't remember his new wife's name.
Me either. I hope she made him happy.
Can a person make another person happy?
I know I've tried with Howard. I've given him three boys. I cook, I clean. But nothing ever seems to be enough.
You'll always be the giver, and Howard is always going to take. He lit a cigarette, offered Linda one. How's that for dime store philosophy? Linda and Sam Hugh looked at each other, almost as if they saw each other for the first time. Tears came to their eyes, each showing pity for the other, each understanding that because of their mother, they never had a chance for a normal life.